This message, Pursue Holiness, based on Hebrews 12:14, was preached by the Reverend Mrs. Estelle Crutcher. The sermon was preached at the 1983 Nazarene Leadership Conference when the emphasis was on Nazarene heritage. Her outline is simple and clear: follow holiness in doctrine, follow holiness in experience, and follow holiness in maturity. Mrs. Crutcher was converted in 1922, joined the Church of the Nazarene in 1923, and received her call to preach in 1924. From those beginnings, she went on to serve as pastor and evangelist. She served churches as pastor in New York, New Jersey, and Youngstown, Ohio. She also served as an evangelist for nearly 20 years. Soon after she was called to preach, her pastor helped her get an invitation to speak at an afternoon service in a camp meeting. When she stood to preach, a wind blew her notes away. Without hesitating, she left them on the floor and preached freely without notes. This started a life of preaching without notes, but always with solid biblical preparation. Many thought Mrs. Crutcher was an unlikely prospect for becoming a preacher. She had 3 children at home and a husband who had little interest in spiritual matters. Then, too, she loved ruffles and bows and jewelry. Mrs. Crutcher lived for nearly 98 years, and her daughter Hazel Lee wrote of those years, "In the words of an old saint, I feel my mother steered through every storm with a fervent intent and steadfast courage and a trust fixed on God."
I would like to lift out just those 2 words, follow holiness. That word follow has a very strong meaning. Perhaps the word pursue would even be better. Pursue holiness reminds one perhaps of a hunter. I don't doubt but that we have some in the congregation. I've heard of some that go out, you know, and hunt deer and make it a great time, especially around up there in Maine. I've known of it when I was on the East Coast. Hunter, hunting deer. And I've thought to myself, I don't know too much about it, but I don't imagine that any of those hunters, when they're on the trail of deer, pursuing deer, they would turn aside to chase a cottontail, you know, or some lesser, quarry that they were after. No, they looked for every sign and indication that will get them a deer. And sometimes they get it and sometimes they don't, I guess. But this is the thought of the word. Pursue holiness. Go after it and don't be swerved aside. Don't major on anything else more. That is the priority. Why? Because, beloved, holiness is of the substance of God. We are to pursue God. We are to seek Him on and on constantly as we are running the race with patience. Our pursuit, our quarry, if I may put it that way, is holiness, because that is God. God is holy, and He has commanded, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That's the reason. And we are seeking not something abstract, but a person. And that person is God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And that is what we are to follow. He is the one we are to constantly pursue. Of course, this letter was written to believers, and I know I'm speaking to believers, justified people, people of God. And so to us comes the exhortation, strong and clear, follow holiness. And especially as we have a great cloud of witnesses, that we are to run the race with patience, but we're to keep our eyes on the quarry. We are to pursue holiness, and you never stop. And probably when we cross the line of worlds, it will still be going on to know Him, that wonderful eternal God. There are 3 distinct ways that we are exhorted, and I believe should and must follow holiness. And please keep in mind, when I'm saying holiness, I am not thinking of something abstract. I am thinking of God. He is in my mind. He is before me. He is the one I'm pursuing, especially as we know Him in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, by the illuminating power of God the Holy Spirit. We are to follow holiness doctrinally. Thank God he raised up the Church of the Nazarene for this purpose. Not that we are the only body or group or portion of the body of Christ that has done this. Our heritage really doesn't go back merely to 1908, Pilot Point, Texas. It does not merely go back to John Wesley's day, or Luther, or on and on. Read it in your church history. Take us back. Our heritage goes back to God himself and way back to Genesis. For it was God the Creator who said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. That's where our heritage comes from, beloved. Never forget it. God himself. And though because of Satan's seduction of Adam, God's purpose seemed to have been foiled. It was not. He had control. And he has never changed in his purpose that we should be made like him. Never. For before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God was slain. And God well knew when he made this creature with the power of choice and a will like himself too. He knew that man could make the wrong choice, and he had made provision even before he created man. And that purpose is being carried out and will until and only when you and I, members of the body of Christ, reach the place where we get back again the holiness of God. This is the doctrine of the Bible. It's not the doctrine of the Church of the Nazarene or any other named group, but it is the doctrine of the organism of the Church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. And I'm glad the Church of the Nazarene is a part of that body and has been commissioned of God to declare the glorious gospel of heart holiness. You remember when Paul got his commission from God, as he was giving his apology or defense before King Agrippa. In his testimony and witness, he said Jesus, who appeared to him, had told him that he was to be a minister and a witness, and the commission was to go to the Gentiles, certainly that would involve us, to go to people, to go to the world, and proclaim the gospel of holiness. He said it began to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. This is our heritage. This is our message. And it's never changed, and God grant it never will change in the Church of the Nazarene. We are called unto holiness. We must preach this glorious truth. We have to follow it doctrinally, because that is, we don't have to be afraid of the word doctrine. It simply means teaching. And we have to have doctrine. We must base our lives and our ministry on doctrine. For he was declared to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself unto God without spot, that we might be sanctified. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. This is doctrine. This is the teaching. Oh, I could go on and on. There's so many other scriptures, the wonderful scriptures, that prove that we are right in teaching that there is a second work of grace. We are to follow holiness experientially. Doctrine is all right, beloved, but it has to be doctrine on fire. The letter killeth, and the spirit giveth life. We might be ever so clear in our theology. We might give mental assent to the glorious teaching of holiness and become a member of a holiness church, as we call it. That is not sufficient. to give an intellectual assent to the teaching of holiness and all of its wonderful beauty and blessing is not sufficient. It must be preached, but it must be preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the illuminator. How do you know the doctrine? You know it when he, the author himself, the Holy Spirit, comes into the heart. He illuminates. He gives the assurance. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit witnesses to his own work. And beloved, let's be careful that our people don't merely seek and get an emotional experience. It's far beyond that. It is a work done by God, the Holy Spirit. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, entirely. Sanctify you through and through. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And this is what he does. He cleanses the heart. Negatively, it is a purification. I think, personally, one of the strongest proof texts of the purifying work of God that happened on the day of Pentecost is Peter's own testimony. You remember the occasion. Of course, Peter was one of the 120 that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the tongues of fire. I like that tongue of fire. You know what it means? It's the burning, holy, dynamic presence of God himself in the heart. It speaks of judgment against sin, but it speaks of glory and power and the radiance of God himself. Tongues of fire. I like that. Well, you know, Peter was marvelously used on the day of Pentecost, and as a result of that fiery tongue, that heart filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, at the close of his message, 3,000. You talk about evangelism, brother. That's it. And it comes through the preaching of the Word of God on holiness in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not only to follow holiness doctrinally, friends, and experientially. To stop there is to stop too short. For there's always a going on, a process, a following, a maturing. I love that. I love the thought of maturing, of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of Jesus teaching that the fruit-bearing branch is purged, strong word, that it may bring forth more fruit. What fruit? The fruit of holiness, the fruit of the Spirit in the life, the fruit manifested, the fruit that can be seen and tasted and enjoyed, the fruit that is beautiful, that makes people's mouths water. You ever walk through a vineyard laden with luscious grapes and you begin, your saliva begins to kind of work, doesn't it? Ooh, I want to get a hold of them, get my mouth and my teeth into that beautiful fruit. Well, it's positively, it's more and more. There's your growth. There's your maturity. If we've made any mistake in our church and preaching, in the preaching of holiness, perhaps it isn't that we have emphasized the negative too much, but I don't think we've emphasized and taught our people of the process of growing in grace, of maturity, that not I've arrived. Bless God, I'm saved and sanctified, and a few years afterward, that same person is petrified. Now, get up, I'm saved and sanctified, bless God. I was sanctified way back there, 1922. But he sanctifies me now. It's a going on. It's a relationship. It's not only an experience. It's a continued relationship. Isn't that what the marriage relation is? It's a crisis experience when you get up and make those vows, right? Of course. But what is it after that? It is a continuing relationship. And it's a relationship of love. And the positive aspect is so glorious, isn't it? Love that suffereth long and is kind and is not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. It is love, the overflowing love, the love of God. It is the dynamic of love. It is the power of God's love in our hearts and all, much, much more. But it's the maturing, it's the going on. And beloved, We are to follow holiness then practically by a life that is lived, by holy living. It's not so much what we say, it's what we are. And beloved, I may go on to say, it's not what we preach. We preach what we are. We preach what we are. God has made it that way. Oh, preachers of the gospel, your generation, your third, fourth generation of the Church of the Nazarene, preach what you are. Holy men of men, filled with the love of Christ, living Christ lives. God's purpose in redemption is to make Christ in men and women, to make them like himself. Let us make man in our image and our likeness. And the whole process in our own individual lives is that we might become more and more like God, that we will pursue him, his holiness, that Christ will be formed again in us. We are to be conformed to the image of Christ. His character and disposition and spirit is to be etched into our lives, until into our characters, until we are Christed people. And it goes on and on and on. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. Oh, his humanity is there, strong. We're still human. We still have our human temperaments and personalities and quirks and idiosyncrasies and whatnot. But he said, nevertheless, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And to have a holy heart is to live a holy life. In other words, holiness is easy to live when Christ is the center. When we're Christ-centered, his life, his character, his disposition, his attitudes are manifested. And this has to go on and on. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin if we walk in the light. And as we continue to obey, follow holiness then. Doctrinally, yes, but doctrine set on fire of the Holy Spirit. Until you follow it experientially and know in your own heart, for the Holy Spirit witnesses to the work that he does. And we need a clear witness of the sanctifying work of God, just as we need the clear witness to his regenerating power. And we must always remember and have that witness and assurance that he abides. And that means, beloved, that we're going to live a Christ life. Holiness is to be lived. Every day, everywhere, in every circumstance and situation, because life is made up of relationships and attitudes. And certainly circumstances come, and that's why it's a processing thing, it's a progressing, it is a continuing of a glorious relationship with him and letting him have his way. Follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord.